Welcome to Yo 11 Minutes, mostly Vegas, no BS, casino experience, and more. Today's episode, a tale of two approaches to casino loyalty, comps, and offers. This is episode 79, season 3 of Yo 11 Minutes. Michael Traeger is a casino and travel loyalty expert who also helps people turn their travel dreams into reality. And now, your host, Michael Traeger. How's it going, Michael?
It's going very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Do I seem tilted a little? Slightly tilted?
Not any more tilted than a tilted kilt.
Not any more tilted than a tilted kilt? Okay, that's good. That sounds fair. Maybe just a little tilted today.
You look fine. You know what? Maybe you need to have a V8 to... Remember those old commercials? People
maybe
walking
I'm a little
around
tilted there. Okay, there we go. We're cool. Yes, I need to have a V8. Ooh, I could have had a V8. I used to like that commercial.
Yeah. I never liked V8 at all. I always found it to be gross and disgusting, but it is what it is.
Do you not like tomato juice or tomato juice?
I like tomato soup. I like byproducts of tomatoes. Like I like ketchup. I like tomato soup. Anything else that can be made with tomatoes, mostly. I don't like tomatoes by themselves. Like I
really?
Yeah, not a fan. Huh. Sauce?
I have another very close friend who's like that. Like, so he can't have like chopped tomatoes, like on nachos or something. He doesn't want tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. No.
You don't like chopped tomatoes, though? Chopped tomatoes are pretty good.
It has to be just expertly diced where the chunks are not too big, but it's like, I said, hey, eat this slice of tomato. I can't do it. It's a textural thing, I think.
That's interesting. You know, you're the second person I've heard say that, so it's probably true. I guess I'm just fine with most food. Like most things don't really bother me. But that's interesting about tomatoes. Tomatoes are a little funky that way. Well, tomatoes are a fruit.
True. Yes. I have read that. Worst fruit I ever had. But yes,
worst fruit. Okay, yeah. I had dragon fruit last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not sure that I've had that. Oh, no. I might
have. Very dragon-like.
I'll bet.
It's the preferred fruit of Baccarat player.
Dragon fruit. The preferred fruit.
Dragon
fruit.
It's got like little dots on it. It's sort of, it's hard to describe. It's like one of those things where you say, like, can you describe what a kiwi tastes like?
That's a really good question, because I've had kiwi recently and I still can't describe what it tastes like. That's a good
one. Well, doesn't it taste like sort of like banana, but not banana-y kind of essence? Okay, that's...
All right. We went
totally, on. That's... yeah, we'll deal with that on our new show called The Taste of... The World of Fruit.
The World of Fruit.
The World of Fruit. Oh, goodness. Okay. So what do you have? What's happening in Vegas? Is anything happening? Come on, something has to be happening.
It's been a week of not very much. However, there was announced that not the implosion dates, but the implosion season has been announced for Tropicana Las Vegas. It'll be happening in the fall of this year. Per the permit that was obtained, the implosion needs to happen by October 20th of this year. A representative from Tropicana said the implosion will happen either September or October, depending on the permits that GGG Incorporated needs to get. GGG is the demolition company, and the GGG actually stands for Going, Going, Gone. They are Going, Going, Gone Demolition Company.
That is an awesome name. I was about to say to you, what's the GGG? Because that's like when people wanted to be in the front of the phone book and they would name their company like AAA Acme Demolition.
Yeah, so they have to get their permits together. I've never heard of that company particularly. Usually the folks who are handling these kind of demolitions are Demolitions Inc. They're the ones that did Stardust, and all the most recent implosions were done by them. So we'll see how...
But it's Going, Going, Gone.
Yeah, triple.
You know, actually, that'd be a great name for like someone who's like a contract for hire killer.
That's
I'm going to hire GGG. Going, gone.
Over here, GGG Contracts for Hire. We make sure that if you got someone that needs to get rid of, we'll get rid of them for you. They'll be going, gone over here. GGG Inc. Hit us up on the dark web.
Yeah, he has a little asterisk. Their trademark logo is, we make them gone.
We make them gone.
We make them gone. Also, that's it.
I'm surprised that the demolition company hasn't gotten sued by Guy Fieri for taking, you know, Triple G as a thing of theirs.
Oh, yeah, that's true. What's interesting, though, you mentioned this date. Is there a significance there? Like, does it, I saw wind of this and I was sort of wondering, is there a reason why it has to be demolished by a certain date? Does it have to do with the new construction for the stadium, or is there some reason? I mean, it just seems very funny to me to say we have a deadline for implosion. That's it. We have a like usually you have a deadline for like opening a new property or doing so. We have a deadline for knocking this thing down. Well, is it? It just have to do with the new stuff?
Well, yeah, that and also when a permit is obtained for an implosion, it's a date range, and the last date of that range is October 20th. So it has to, otherwise that it's going the. The permit expires. I got to get it's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get one of these. So that's what's going on with that. So
oh, that makes sense. So they give you permission to do this implosion in a certain period of time, and you're approved to do it, but you have to do it in that period of time. Okay.
Yeah, and also gives the
fair enough.
The demolition people enough time to get all the furniture out, strip everything down that they're going to do to the studs like they typically do with these things, you know, and to make the implosion a lot safer, if you will. So,
you know, I'm always thinking, you know, Vegas always does these implosions. And I know implosions make a certain sense, you know, for certain places, especially like obviously for these tall buildings in Vegas and getting them down quickly. But I think most places traditionally use like a wrecking ball kind of, you know, big trucks, big heavy trucks and wrecking balls to do things. They don't necessarily do like this implosion with dynamite and all that kind of stuff. So that's funny because right near where I live, they recently got rid of a building. I think it was like 10 stories. And I kept thinking, oh, when are they going to do the implosion? And then like my wife's like, I think that's like a Vegas thing. I think in other cities, like they don't necessarily implode. Like I'm sure they do.
Oh, they do.
But it's more like they weren't using a wrecking ball, but they were like using like heavy machinery just to sort of like chip away at the building and knock it down, you know, which I think is also quite a common approach. Like not everywhere in the world are they filling buildings with dynamite and imploding them, though. So it's sure pretty cool.
Yeah, it also depends on the size of the structure as well. Like for the Riviera, even though there were two implosions for two different towers, all the surrounding structures were knocked down with heavy machinery. I remember standing out right outside the Riviera, well, across the street from it with Greg C., a photographer with Vegas Bright. Just getting footage of everything, and they were just using, you know, bulldozers and heavy machinery just to like knock into stuff and like make it fall down and everything and spraying it down with water so the dust doesn't rise up. Mm-hmm. So they were doing, it was a combination of both. For the two towers, they imploded the hell out of those, but for everything surrounding it, like that was just heavy machinery knocking it down. So it might end up being the same thing at Tropicana.
And you look forward to going to Tropicana to check that out.
Oh, yeah. So I would love to see this implosion happen in person, for sure. Maybe I'll plan a stay at a hotel as a date approaches, you know, that is firmed up to get a nice view.
It's a perfect time to use those Excalibur comms.
That's right. That if there's any reason to stay at Excalibur, this be it.
There you go. There you go. There's always a reason to stay at the Dirty Castle.
There you go. All right.
That's what we have. Well, no, really, really cool stuff. So I guess onward and upward to the T's.
All right. It's time for the T.
Okay, so today's tease was today we discussed two approaches to casino loyalty. And I kept thinking of the Tale of Two Cities. I think we need to like sort of sort of modify that. Like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of comps. It was the age of foolishness and tier matches. But I'm not sure. That's a little out there. But
I like it.
I don't know why I kept thinking of the Tale of Two Cities. Anyhow, this is, you know, today is a tale of two approaches to casino loyalty. And I break it down that way because I think this topic comes up quite a bit. I think as an overall trend, not to be overly negative, but, and not even to mean that it's a negative thing per se, but a lot of things with casino loyalty are really quite opaque on purpose. And, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, is casinos mostly lie to you about what you're going to earn or what you're going. I mean, I know everybody, you always see these examples where somebody says, they told me at the Players Club, you know, that this was the way this worked, or my host tells me if I do this. But, you know, you have to realize if a program is going to, be opaque about a lot of things, which means you don't know what you have to do to earn something, or if you earn something, you don't know what it'll trigger, i.e. you do a certain amount of play, you don't know what kind of marketing offers you're going to get. You know, usually if you set up a program to be opaque like that, you know, that's done with the intention of not telling you the way things work and also giving the company the ability to change the way things work. So maybe this isn't necessarily bad intentions, but most of the time, you know, nobody's going to really know. And that's especially, you know, hosts. Hosts don't have accurate insight into the algorithm. Like, I've never heard somebody refer to a fact or a host specifically say, well, I've been tracking the offers that these four different players get, and it seems that when they do this and this, that they get more comps. No, they talk about general kind of stuff. But anyway, it's seldom that they key you in on stuff. Or like a host, I've never heard a host say, oh, wow, now the way we're treating, you know, theoretical from craps is really bad. You should like stay off of the craps table and concentrate on playing three-card poker and video poker. Because, you know, the craps ratings just went to hell recently. So just keep that in mind. And also just keep it in mind, a lot of times to find things out about casino loyalty, the best people to connect with are other players or testing things and see what happens. So anyway, back to this two approaches to casino loyalty. The first approach is what I call the loyal puppy approach. Since I happen to love puppies, I had to bring that into it. The loyal puppy approach is usually when you are concentrating your casino play on just two casinos. And in most cases, most people, more than two casino programs to concentrate on is going to be really, really difficult unless you make a significant number of trips, in addition to the fact of having a significant bankroll to be able to handle that number of trips. You're going to want to think about the programs that you're interested in based on market. So, you know, a lot of times you have one program that's in multiple markets, like a Caesars or an MGM, where you'd have Biloxi and Atlantic City and Vegas and maybe Tahoe. And then maybe another program where it doesn't matter so much, like a Fontainebleau or a Wynn, where they're not in a lot of different markets. And that can usually be a pretty good mix, especially if you're a Vegas aficionado and love going to Vegas. Is one program that maybe, like a Fontainebleau, is just more Vegas focused, and then another program like a Caesars or MGM, which is more national. And it's also important that if you play outside of your market or have significant play in a locals market, Atlantic City always comes to mind with that, but love Vegas. In most cases, the markets do sometimes impact your offers from other markets for sure, but they're still different. And it's always a good idea to be cautious of that kind of thing. So, you know, not play much differently than you regularly do in another market if you really care about that program. Now, the best thing about the loyal puppy program, or the way that I see the loyal puppy program, is you always earn and play the same amount of tier or coin in or theoretical, or at least that's your goal. Do you hear something, Movestro? I swear I hear something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going crazy. So back to the loyal puppy. You always earn and play the same amount of tier coin in theoretical, which would be the goal. You often deal with a host if that's your level. So the good part about this loyal puppy thing is that your offers are consistent, but if you play enough to have a host, you can fall back on that host if your offers drop. And since you have a host and you're loyal, you're liable to pick up additional comps on the back end. And if you're dealing with someone who appreciates your loyalty, that can work out well. The thing is, your offers probably won't increase that much from trip to trip, their level. Because the casinos have no real need to entice you to come back. You already are coming back. Now, the bad part of the loyal puppy, and this is the part that a lot of people fall into when they don't have a casino host. So if you do not play enough for a casino host, you are at the whim of the algo. You are at the whim of the algorithm. If the casino decides your play is less valuable or you won't leave, or you know, you're going to keep coming to the property, they can drastically cut your offers. You have nowhere to turn except to just stop going. Your loyalty and all of the effort you put into a loyalty can be a waste. So in a lot of senses, that, you know, being loyal with the casino, you've got to be really careful about that, because in most cases, you want to have enough action where you can be loyal and you can develop a host relationship, because then you have that human being who you can interact with if your offers drop, or maybe you want additional comps, or if the algorithm isn't treating you well. So that's an important thing. And of course, that's when dealing with a host is wonderful, because you're loyal. This is the property you mostly want to go to. You want to develop that relationship. And a lot of that is going to be a combination of your theoretical and your action, but also the relationship with the host. So, which can also change because the host could disappear. So you're putting a lot of emphasis on that kind of thing. So now the next approach, which I call the wild and crazy casino free agent, and that kind of thing is where you basically do whatever you want to do, but you tend to focus your play moving from property to property. That could be every 6 months or every year. And what you're usually going to do is you're going to play really, really strong. We give a link to that article on the Big Day of Play, you know, to develop yourself with this new casino property. That's going to get you started really well. A great way to do it is if you tier match to that property and then do really, really strong play. So you're at a good tier level that might get you some benefits like waived resort fees or other perks. And then you're going to play really strong and you're going to trigger these really good offers because the casino has nothing to go by. And now all of a sudden you're really a significant player, or at least more significant than you regularly are. This is truly the way to optimize because you basically are now going to say, okay, now I'm getting these great offers and I'm going to play, you know, of course I'm always going to play when I come back and use my offers, but I'm not going to worry about it that much. I'm just going to play enough to help me keep getting offers. And you know those offers are going to drop, but you're sort of okay with that. The key here is that since you are not truly loyal to this property, you can try to extract as much as you can from the comps. So if your offers are really good and they continue to be good for a little while, you're still not worried about how much play you do. So in essence, you're extracting from the casino or using comps that are more valuable than what your current action really rates and what you deserve. It's sort of a less is more kind of thing. But you have to also not be insulted and understand the fact that the casino is eventually going to probably say you're not really as valuable as they thought you were. And they're going to cut your offers and your rooms, and you might have to move on. And that's just the way life is, but you sort of optimize there. So you might have to move on to the next property. Maybe you'll come back to that property again in 6 months or a year. Maybe you won't. So the good is, with exception to the first day of play, you play as you want and when you want. You're not worried. You always play, but you're not concerned with a particular coin in or theoretical or the amount of action you need. The bad part about this is you lose relationships. You are totally dependent on casino marketing. The play as I want and as I feel means your offers will drop unless you have a huge day, even more than the first day to offset lower play days. You won't get discretionary on the back end. You might have to move on from a property you love or a program you love in the name of comp optimization. But Well, it's not lost because you can always probably come back to that property again eventually. So I guess a big part of this depends on how married you are to a property. And I will always say that is probably not the best idea to be married to a property, because that will drive you to make somewhat irrational decisions with regard to how much you play and your casino loyalty. And that's all I got for you today.
Ah, there it is. Sorry about that. My mic was muted. All right. Now, I couldn't help notice that when you were talking about all this, I would probably be like loyal puppy guy. Like if I were to do this, I can't keep track of like all these different properties and all these different loyalty programs and all this. So loyal puppy sounds like the way that I would go. No, I'd probably just do
like— You just like puppies.
Who doesn't like puppies? Only people with no souls. Only people with no souls don't like puppies. Anyways, so I'd probably go do like MGM on one side, Caesars on the other, because it makes sense. But maybe like a downtown sort of Boyd Gaming or something rewards program. Throw that. Now I got to wonder, which is better?
Well, but you know what? Part of the thing is philosophical. Are you going into it where it's like you against the casino? Like you against the casino to win, you against the casino to get the most comps. You again, like it's like a competition, right? Like you're trying to get the most comps for the least amount of play or more comps for your play. You're trying to win. Or are you going into it more of a like love fest kind of entertainment thing where it's like, oh, my host always greets me and treats me so well, and I'm used to this property. I mean, there's a big thing about that too. You know, there's some people who like that, you know, especially at Vegas, I could see someone saying like, I really like going to this property. I go there all the time. I know where everything is. You know, I know the way around. Because ever get that feeling to me in Vegas, like when you don't know a property and you walk in, like someone says, meet me for dinner at this place. And you walk into a property you never go to and you're like going in circles, right? Like it should take you a moment to find something, but you don't know where it is. But then there's that soothing relaxation of being in a property where you know exactly where everything is, like you know where to turn and where to go. So I think it sort of depends on your philosophy. I also totally understand the fact, and I think you fall into this a little bit, Malvestro, that all of this like comp hustling and optimization and keeping track of what you play and do that is stressful. Like it adds stress to your enjoyment, right? Like maybe you just want to go and drink and gamble and have a good time, and you don't want to be thinking about how many tier points you're earning or what you're doing in a certain day and all of that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's I can see some people that thinking that's a little stressful, perhaps.
For me, as long as the player's card works on the first try in every slot machine, I'll be happy. If they can just do something with that technology, I'll be happy. That's it.
I wish it was, you know, I wish it was like the technology for when you use your credit card, like with RFID kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Where you just wave, like imagine you just wave your credit card, you wave your player's card. Woo! You wave your credit player's card in front of I'll do it with a Wynn Black card, right? You wave your player's card. You wave your player's card in front of the slot machine. It goes, welcome, Michael.
Right. Here's your points. This is how many you have. And you just start playing. And
because that whole putting it in and the light has to turn green and it doesn't, or it's flashing and it's not, you put it in again and then you take it out and then you put it in again. It just about triggers, but you're impatient and you pulled it out and you're like, fuck, it actually was going and now you do it.
All it would need is just some sort of way to know that you're done with that machine. Like maybe some sort of a sensor that you get up and walk away. Then it logs out of your, because right now the only way to do it is to take your card out and then it doesn't do anything else with your card.
Or most machines time out, even if your card's in and it's green and nothing happens after a certain amount of time, you know, on a machine, because obviously they don't want another player coming up and playing
right
on your card. You might not want that either, because that could possibly be, it could be helpful or it could be detrimental. So it is one of those kind of things, you know. You know, years ago, when people used to hustle, before like everybody really understood players cards, people would stand by like popular banks of machines like Wheel of Fortune, and they would go and get their card triggered and then just stand to the back and wait for some like ploppy kind of person to sit down at the machine and play with their card activated, just to get the play on their card. I mean, we're talking a while ago when like the vast majority of people didn't have players cards, you know, like they were just like putting in their 20 or putting in their 50. I think that's hard because machines time out. I think the older technology didn't necessarily time out as quickly. And, you know, casinos are frown upon those kind of things.
Now,
anyway, I
couldn't help notice when you said, when you're talking about choosing something like maybe Wynn or maybe Fontainebleau, you said Fontainebleau. And I just wanted to remind you.
Fontainebleau. Fontaine, meaning fountain in French.
Fontainebleau, E-A-U,
Bleu.
Forming the sound O, of course.
So French. Of course.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. So the only other thing I would leave you with, since obviously I said there are only two approaches. Of course there are more approaches, but I think this is just a tale of two way, you know, like just trying to simplify two ways you can go at it. I mean, obviously there's a little bit of both, but I think that there is something to be said about, you know, people who are free agents and those that are loyal and the reasons they do it. And that brings us a great question. Tell us why you're loyal or not loyal to a particular casino. That's interesting to hear.
All right. And before we get going, do you have any closing remarks, anything on your mind?
No, I'm glad to be back today. I'm sorry the week's been so crazy. I think next week's going to be crazy too, but I'll try to get back on the regular schedule, at least for the Monday-Tuesday part. Thank you, Movestro, for doing an amazing job. We've been sort of experimenting, actually Movestro's been experimenting, with taking some of the TravelZork articles and sharing some of those articles on YouTube, where he's doing some introductions and voice overlays and cartoon characters and stuff like that. And I think it's pretty cool. I'd love feedback. I mean, I love it, but because it sort of gives you the article without having to read the article and without us necessarily just both talking about the article. So it's a little bit more multimedia, I guess, but I think it's been great. So bravo.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's going to do it for this episode. Luxury travel booking, TravelZork.travel. Visit us at TravelZork.travel to plan your next amazing vacation, not just to Las Vegas, but anywhere in the world. And please join the conversation on social media. You can find us easily. All social platforms are at TravelZork. We'll see you next time.